Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class. A short Bible study, about 13, 14 minutes usually, but every day of the week, 7 days a week, keeping us in God's Word. And since faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17, this is crucial for the strengthening and continuing growth of our faith. Help people in your life whom you know, who need to grow in their faith, who need to come closer to God, who need to start thinking about their soul's salvation. Share these studies with them through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means every day, every day. Help them turn their life around and maybe even get to heaven. What a great blessing for them and for you. So make that commitment and start sharing today. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. We're talking about coming to Jesus. And we're asking the question in specific way, what does it mean to come to Jesus? A whole lot of people, they talk about coming to Jesus. They, you know, you hear preachers talk about it, come to Jesus. But what does it mean truly to come to Jesus? Well, Jesus extended what we look at as the great invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, where he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus calls everybody to come to him. That's an invitation that is not exclusive to only a certain group of people or certain number of nations around the world, but it's an invitation from our Lord and Savior to everybody, to all of humanity, in every generation. Have you come to Jesus? What does it mean to come to Jesus? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that God the Father sent him, God the Son, to be our Savior into this world so that we could have the opportunity to come to God through Jesus for forgiveness and redemption and salvation, for eternal life, an eternal home in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." What a great statement, what a great encouragement to us that God so loved not just a few people, and not just a generation or two of people, not just people in certain parts of the world, but God so loved the world, everybody, that whoever, anybody who would come to believe in Jesus and come to him the way God has laid out for us can have eternal life. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we get a little bit deeper into this love of God for us, this love by God for us, in that it says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God loves us not when we're good, and there's no way to be good before God truly, except through Jesus Christ as our Savior. God loves us even when we're sinners, even when we're in sin. When Jesus came, he came to call everybody, and what does the Apostle Paul write in Romans 3 and verse 23? "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And what are the wages of sin? Romans 6 and verse 23, death. But the rest of that verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." God loves us that much that he sent his Son to die on that cross, that physical torturing death, to pay the price for the guilt of our sins. To pay the price for the guilt of our sins. Jesus lived in physical form, sinless, in this world. But he died to bear the guilt of our sins. And not just everybody living now, but everybody who has ever lived, everybody who ever will live until he comes again on that final day of judgment. Faith in Jesus is fundamental to coming to God, to being forgiven. Jesus said, "I have said, therefore, that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he," that is, the Son of God, the Savior, "you will die in your sins." Faith in God is basic to faith in Jesus. The Hebrews writer said in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. So what Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24 ties together with Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We must believe in Jesus, but we must believe in God in order to believe in Jesus. So our faith, our personal belief, is fundamental, is foundational, but that's not where it stops. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can't earn our salvation. We can't do enough good things, quote unquote, to obligate God to save us. We're saved by his grace, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. But God also expects us to come to him for that forgiveness, that redemption, that salvation, that eternal life, in the way that he's laid out for us to come to him. It's not just a matter of believing, and I'm afraid that a whole lot of people, that's where they begin and stop. They think, yep, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God. Let me tell you, I'm telling you I do. So they voice that confession of faith. Well, that's only the starting point. In James chapter 2 and verse 24, verse 19, James said, the demons, and we understand where the demons reside, don't we? In hell. The demons believe and tremble. The demons have that much faith. Well, when it talks about just faith, just believing, and again, that's where a whole lot of people start and stop. They think that's enough. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I'm saved now. No. The only time in the entire New Testament scriptures where you find the phrase faith only is in James chapter 2 and verse 24. And notice the word that comes before those two words, faith only. James said, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. When we develop faith in God and faith in Christ, we're just coming out of the starting block, so to speak. We're just beginning that walk towards salvation in Christ. God expects a whole lot more of us than just believing. Now, what did Jesus say again? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Then what did he say? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. We have to do something when we come to that point where we say, I believe now. Then the next thought in our mind ought to be, now what? What's next? What do I do next? Well, in coming to Jesus, he promised rest from a spiritual perspective. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 8, and by way of illustration and imagery. Matthew chapter 8, and I want us to look at verses 2 and 3. And here we find some men who were lepers. And by what I mean by that, they were afflicted with leprosy. You talk about a dreaded disease. In that part of the world at that time, leprosy was common. Lots of people had leprosy. And it is a disease that eats away at the flesh and the body. And still today, there is no cure for leprosy. And there still are some people who are afflicted with it. Even some within our own nation. I've been to a leper facility in South Louisiana. Now, mostly those who are afflicted with it still live in other parts of the world, is my impression, but even some within our nation have leprosy. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, we read this. Behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, when somebody who was well would be approaching a person who had leprosy in those days in that part of the world, the person who had leprosy would pull his outer garment over his mouth and then yell out, "Unclean, unclean," indicating he had leprosy. "Stay away, stay back, don't come too close," because he did not want anybody else to get leprosy from him. So this leper, this man with leprosy, says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus said, Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Now think how thankful, how excited that man must have been. He had been living with leprosy probably for a number of years by that time. And he approaches the Savior. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says immediately, "I'm willing." He touches him, "Be cleansed." And the man was cleansed, healed of his leprosy. What a great blessing. But that's not really the cleansing that Jesus is talking about in his great invitation in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. We can be made whole. We can be made clean. We can be born again. But we're talking primarily from a spiritual perspective. That's what Jesus is really calling people for when he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's not talking about a good night's sleep. He's not talking about a really good nap. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." My friends, that's the rest. That's the cleansing that you need, and I need, and everybody living right now needs from Jesus Christ. That is the cleansing. That is the being made whole. That is the spiritual rest that goes with a home in heaven that everybody needs, should be seeking, and should be living for. We're going to look deeper next time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, oh, how we need your rest, spiritual rest, the assurance of a home with you in heaven for all of eternity. Help us to come to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the way that you have communicated to us through your word, so we can be assured of that rest. We give you the glory, Father. And please, Father, please forgive us. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.